This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Firstly, we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His help, and we ask for His forgiveness. We also send salutations upon the beloved Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family and his friends. We should all praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for once again allowing us all to be gathered here together in this beautiful masjid. We have just performed the Salatul Isha together in Jama'ah, alhamdulillah. Just a few weeks ago, the masajids were closed, as you know, due to the pandemic. But alhamdulillah, in Australia, in many other countries, the masajids have reopened, and now we can perform our ibadah together. Of course, with some sort of social distancing, but alhamdulillah, we can be in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pray together. We are also here to learn from the knowledge that has been passed down to us by our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless each and every one of us, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us like we are gathered here, but in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. Now, as you all know, the topic for today is consistent good deeds. And before I go on to the topic, I wanted to give a very special quote by a very famous boxer, as we all know, Muhammad Ali. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him paradise. He said, "Do not count the days, rather make the days count." And of course, many other athletes have said similar quotes to this. But this is something very, very interesting and something that we really need to ponder and think about. Because before Ramadan began, if you look at social media platforms, you will see that people, organizations, also individuals, they were counting down the days before Ramadan began. You know, 10 days left, 9 days left until Ramadan came. And that's brilliant, mashallah. That's great. And when Ramadan came in, you know, 1 week passed, 2 weeks passed, a lot of people started to count down the days until Ramadan ends. Because, you know, we were giving up. A lot of ibadah, fasting the entire day, qiyamul layl the entire night, although we couldn't go to the masajid at that time. But we were still giving up, a lot of us. And then now that Ramadan has left us, a lot of us are happy that Ramadan has gone, and we think, alhamdulillah, 11 more months left, 11 more months of freedom until Ramadan comes again. You know, a lot of us think like this, although we don't want to say it. But we have these thoughts in our minds. And I've met a person, and I'm sure there's a lot of them, when Ramadan was in, he actually said that, "I was very happy that Ramadan came." He was telling me about his heart and what's happening with his heart. He said, "I was very happy that Ramadan came, but now that Ramadan is in, I just can't wait for Ramadan to finish." He was opening up his heart because he found it very difficult. But subhanAllah, we need to make sure that every single day that we are living, we are making that day count. We are always preparing for the next Ramadan. We are always preparing to do better in our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not taken our soul away. We are still alive, our hearts are beating. Therefore, we still have a chance to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to turn back to Him, to become a better person than before. When you ask athletes, when you ask, you know, sports players, when you ask, you know, it could be a soccer star, it could be a football star, it could be anyone who's achieved a lot of fame in his or her life. When you ask them, "What makes you so successful? What did you do to become at the level that you're in currently?" They tell you something very similar. They say that it was a lot of training. It was a lot of hard work. A lot of them will tell you that we used to get up early in the morning and we would train every single day. And of course, the training only became intense when the competition came closer. When the competition came, they gave it all they had. They pushed themselves to the limit. If they failed, meaning they didn't hold up that trophy, they probably came second, runners up, they came third, or they didn't make it to even the top 5 or top 10. They'll tell you that they never gave up. They pushed themselves even more. Throughout that year until the next competition, they did more training, they did harder work. So that when that next competition came, they did even better. If you look at those top players, they never got this level overnight. It was a lot of hard work and training, a lot of years of competition. And then finally they came to a point where they could hold that cup of victory. Later on, they probably became older and they decided to retire. Now, as Muslims, every single year, we can call it a competition, but every single year this event comes, this month comes, and that is that month of Ramadan in which everything that we have practiced, we are putting it into place and we are trying our best to make sure that we perform the greatest that we've ever performed before. It's because of that years of training. We prayed our salah, we fasted the voluntary fasts, we gave sadaqah, we made dua, we made istighfar, we read the Quran, we did the adhkar. And when Ramadan came, we pushed ourselves even more because that is when it really, really matters. Of course, every day it matters. But the month of Ramadan is the month where it increases our hasanat, our deeds. So when do we retire? The athletes that retire, you know, when they get their fame and glory. When do Muslims retire? They retire when they pass away. So right now our hearts are still beating. We are alive. We have not retired. Therefore, right now that Ramadan has left, we need to make sure that every day right now, it counts. Every single day, you are training yourself so that when that next Ramadan comes, insha'Allah ta'ala, you will perform even better than before. And to do that, when you ask those athletes again, I remember there was an interview by one of the NRL coaches, and they asked him, how do you do your training? How do you get your squad to train on a regular basis? He said something very simple. He said, we always do the basics. We always begin with the basics. What's the basics? Throwing the ball, catching the ball. Throwing the ball, catching the ball. Simple as that. Why? You may think, you know, NRL stars, great stars, and all they're doing is catching and throwing. They do that on a regular basis. Why? Because when the competition comes, they have to make sure when they pass the ball, they pass it correctly. They have to make sure when they catch the ball, they don't drop it. That's why they train that on a regular basis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want us to do deeds that are so gigantic, but you only do it once in a while. He doesn't want that. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do deeds, small deeds, simple tasks, but you do it on a consistent basis. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said in a beautiful hadith, she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أحب الأعمال إلى الله عز وجل أدومها وإن قل. She said, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the most beloved deed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that is consistent even if they are small. Even if they are little. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. A lot of us, you know, sometimes we wake up in the morning and we get some type of iman shot during the night and we think, from today onwards, it's a good thought, from today onwards, I'm going to recite a juz a day. From today onwards, I'm going to give a lot of sadaqah. From today onwards, I'm going to perform 8 rak'ah of tahajjud prayer, and you get up and you perform it. That's great, beautiful intention. But how long does that last? A day? 2 days, 3 days, and you burn out slowly. You burn out. That is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking for. And we are not talking about the compulsory deeds. That's a separate issue. We are talking about the nawafil, the sunnah deeds. The deeds that will increase our hasanat even more. That is the deeds that we are talking about and discussing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the deed that is consistent, even if it is small. What we need to do, let's learn from the past Ramadan. What did we do in the past Ramadan? We did many, many deeds. Many deeds. And we want to make sure that we continue those deeds even after Ramadan on a consistent basis, even if they're small. So let's look at the apparent deeds that we do or that we did in the month of Ramadan. The first, the most apparent thing that we did was we fasted the month of Ramadan. And a lot of us, unfortunately, we only keep fasting to Ramadan. We only fast in the month of Ramadan. That's why many Muslims find it difficult to fast after 1 or 2 weeks of fasting. Because they start to burn out. They haven't practiced before. This is something that we can continue even after the month of Ramadan. See, when Ramadan ended, a lot of us said, Alhamdulillah, we don't need to fast anymore. We can enjoy our food. We can enjoy our drink. We can enjoy our morning coffee. That's something I missed a lot, yes. But Alhamdulillah, now that Ramadan has gone, we can enjoy it. But let's consistently choose one of the sunnah actions of fasting. Choose one of them and consistently do that throughout the year until the next Ramadan comes. We all know from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam where he said, "Man sama Ramadana thumma sitta min Shawwal ka siyamu dahrin." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Whoever fasts the entire month of Ramadan, then follows up with the 6 days of Shawwal, it is as if he has fasted the entire year." The hasanat of that. So one thing that we could do, now I know there's only a few days left till the end of Shawwal, but one thing that we could do is we could fast those 6 days of Shawwal. If that's all you do, that's great. Also, we know from the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where at times he would fast one day and he would leave the fast the next day. He would fast again, he would leave the fast the next day. He did this from time to time. And we know from the history of some of the Anbiya, they used to fast this way. If you're a person who does fast consistently outside of Ramadan, maybe you could take this way and fast one day, leave the other. If you can't do this, if that is too difficult for you, then we know from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he fasted Mondays and Thursdays. And there's a lot of hasanat for this. Maybe that's the sunnah we can adopt inshaAllah and continuously do that throughout the year. If that is too difficult for us, then we know from the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he encouraged the sahabas and us to fast the 3 days in the middle of the month, the 13th, the 14th and the 15th of the month. 3 days in the month, that's it. If we can't do that, then we know from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he said that it is a sunnah to fast the day of Arafah. It is a sunnah to fast the day of Ashura, one day before or one day after. Maybe we can adopt that. If you're a person that doesn't fast at all other than Ramadan, then maybe the last option is the best one for you. Do that this year. And then next year when Ramadan passes, you can increase it and do even more. But pick one inshallah and do it on a consistent basis. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. What else did we do in the month of Ramadan? We prayed the tahajjud, the qiyamul layl, the taraweeh prayers. Although we didn't pray in the masjid. But alhamdulillah, many of us, we performed the taraweeh prayers at home. And we did this on a nightly basis in the month of Ramadan. And we increased it in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And that's brilliant. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our deeds. But as soon as Ramadan ended, alhamdulillah, we say, no more qiyamul layl. No more tahajjud. We don't need to perform the night prayers anymore. But this is such a great act of worship that there is a narration where Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he saw a dream. And in his dream, he saw that he was in paradise. And that wherever he was going in paradise, this garment of silk was following him. And then he said that he saw two angels who were trying to take him to the hellfire. But there were other angels who were there protecting him and telling him, "Do not worry, you are in paradise." When he woke up, he told his sister Hafsa this dream. And then his sister told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who happened to be the wife of the Prophet, Hafsa. She told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam this dream. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that what a great man Abdullah ibn Umar is, and he would only be greater if he were to perform the tahajjud prayers, the qiyamul layl prayers. At that time he wasn't performing the tahajjud prayers. Abdullah ibn Umar, when he heard this, he said, from that day onwards, from the advice that was given by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I never left my tahajjud prayers. I never left my qiyamul layl prayers. It doesn't mean he was going to hellfire, that's the dream that he had. No, he was still in paradise. But he would be even better if he performed the qiyamul layl prayers. And subhanAllah, we know so many virtues of the qiyamul layl prayers. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the first heavens by His majesty. And He asks people, who is there who asks from me, I am here to give. Subhanallah, we know so many virtues that people are asleep and there is the ibadullah, the ones who are worshipping Allah, they are praying at night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives them. Allah accepts the dua. Allah increases them in rank. So inshallah ta'ala, what we could do is we could, if we can, try our best to perform the tahajjud prayers on a daily basis, even if it is 2 rakah. Even if it is 2 rakah, you could wake up early, 10, 15, 20 minutes before Fajr begins, and perform 2 units of prayer as your tahajjud, complete it with your witr, and then Fajr starts, you may pray your Fajr, and then go about your business. If that is too difficult for you, then maybe you could pick a day in a week where the next day you don't have work. Maybe on a Friday, on a Saturday morning. Maybe on a Friday, maybe on a Sunday morning. Where the next day you don't have work, the next day you don't have school, the next day you don't have university. In which you could probably sleep afterwards and gain that sleep. Wake up early and perform your tahajjud prayers. So maybe pick a day, pick 2 days in the week. If that's too difficult for you, then at least pick a day in a month. Something. Don't leave it just for Ramadan. You need to practice so that when Ramadan begins, you will be used to praying the night prayers and you will have no issues performing the Taraweeh prayers. What else did we do in the month of Ramadan? We recited a lot of Quran. Many of us, we decided to recite Juz a day to complete the entire Quran in the month of Ramadan, and that's brilliant, mashallah. Some people I know, they finish the Quran 3 times. The first 10 days, the second 10 days, and the last 10 days, they finish the Quran. I know some people who finish the Quran in the 20 days, and then the last 10 days, they finished it twice. I know some people who finished the entire Quran, and they completed the meaning of the Quran. The tafsir of the Quran, they recited the entire thing. And that's brilliant, mashallah. But as soon as Ramadan ended, many of us have put the Quran aside. Many of us have deleted the Quran apps from our phones. Many of us are not reading the Quran as we were reading before. The Quran is not only to be read in the month of Ramadan, although we know that the Quran was revealed in the month of Ramadan. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِّنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. We know this. But Quran has been revealed to us to be recited on a daily basis. So inshaAllah ta'ala, and we know the hasanat and the rewards of reciting the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that every single letter that you recite, you will receive 10 hasanat. And that's minimum. And he said, I'm not saying alif lam mim is one letter. Rather, alif is one, meaning you get 10 hasanat. Lam, you get 10 hasanat. Mim, you get 10 hasanat. So imagine if you recite on a daily basis, half a page, one page, you might not be able to count the letters and the hasanat you're receiving. So inshallah ta'ala, maybe we can choose a time in the day where we can sit down, open up the Quran and recite, even if it is for 10 minutes, even if it is for 15 minutes, a half a page, a page, 2 pages, whatever you are comfortable with. Do not be a person who only picks up the Quran in the month of Ramadan and leaves it and forgets it afterwards. Because as we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is the book, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, there is no doubt in it, هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. It's a guidance for those who are the muttaqoon, the pious, the righteous people. And inshallah ta'ala, we are all the righteous and pious people. That's what we want to be. And if you want to be that, then hold the Quran as your guide. Recite it and implement it in your life on a daily basis. What you could do inshallah ta'ala, you could pick certain surahs that you don't know, and on a daily basis maybe memorize 1 verse of it, 2 verses of it, 3 verses of it, whatever you're comfortable with. Spend a time during that day where it's just between you and Allah. Sit down and learn, revise, memorize the Quran. This will benefit you in this life and in the Akhirah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that the Quran can be a hujjah for you or against you on the Day of Judgment. The Quran will either speak for you or against you on the Day of Judgment. And your rank in paradise could be determined by the amount of Quran that you know. So therefore, put effort in reciting the Quran. What else did we do in the month of Ramadan? We gave a lot of sadaqah. We gave a lot of charity. A lot of us gave our zakat during the month of Ramadan. And we choose to give it during that month because of the blessings the month has. Alhamdulillah. But what happens after the month of Ramadan? Many of us, we have shut down our bank accounts. We don't look at it. We don't want to send money anymore. We don't reach in deep to our pockets anymore to give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we've given a lot in the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want you to give so much at one day or one time and then you forget the poor afterwards. Remember, poverty doesn't only exist in Ramadan. Poverty exists even after the month of Ramadan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given poverty on earth so that you could achieve the hasanat of giving. So that you could, inshallah ta'ala, give sadaqah to gain that benefit. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he encouraged us, he said, save yourselves from the fire even if it is half a date in sadaqah. Even if you give something small in sadaqah, your intentions are clear, you're giving it for the sake of Allah, give it on a consistent basis. And we know from so many ayat in the Quran, where even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when a person passes away, at that moment when he passes away, many of them will be thinking at that time and asking Allah, Ya Allah, send us back to the earth. Why? Send us back alive on earth. Why? Not so that you may give, not so that you may pray, no, so that you may fast, no. فَأَصَّدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. As Allah says, so that I may give sadaqah and that I am from the righteous slaves of Allah. So give sadaqah and increase your ranks on the Day of Judgment. If you're a person who has a certain amount of money, could be any amount, $10,000 in your account, $20,000, $100,000, and you're receiving an income, then what you could do inshallah on a consistent basis, have a certain amount that you give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to give when need arises, then what you could do on a daily basis, have a separate account and put in money there. You're intending to give every day. Your money is going into that account every day. And then when need arises, you take a chunk and you give it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, that will be counted as if you have given sadaqah every single day. Some people like to do direct debit to a certain charity organization on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, a monthly basis. And that's brilliant. Continue that inshallah ta'ala. And you will see the rewards in the Akhirah. Wallahi, the rewards of sadaqah is great. A friend of mine, subhanallah, in Malaysia where I was studying, at one point in time, he only had 100 ringgit in his account, which is approximately $30. That's all he had in his bank account. And it so happened that another brother, he came up to him and he said, I haven't eaten for a few days. You know, can you give me something? So he went to the ATM and he looked into the ATM. He only had the 100 ringgit. And he was going to get paid from his parents, you know, maybe a week or 2 weeks later. So he decided to give 50 ringgit, half of what he had, which is approximately $15. He gave that to this brother for the sake of Allah. Subhanallah, approximately, you know, a few weeks later, he received a call from a nearby school. And because his brother knew Arabic, this school gave him a call where he applied for a job. And that school offered him an Arabic teaching job. Allahu Akbar. And he took that role. Later on, maybe after a couple of months, a sister from the same university, through her father, of course, proposed to him in marriage. And the mahar, all she wanted for him to teach her Quran, because he was a hafiz. Subhanallah. He got married. After maybe a few months later, he had enough money to buy himself a small car. Then later on, he had enough money to rent an apartment outside for him and his wife, all within a span of a year. And that could just be because he gave that $15 to this brother. Subhanallah. The deeds of giving for the sake of Allah, you will not imagine the places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the barakah in your money. What else did we do in the month of Ramadan? We did a lot of adhkar. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. We did a lot of adhkar and we did a lot of istighfar. We spent a lot of time during the month of Ramadan where we sat in front of Allah and we made that adhkar. We moistened our tongue with the remembrance of Allah. But as soon as Ramadan ended, we have forgotten about Allah. We have left the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, moisten your tongue with the remembrance of Allah, he did not mean only in Ramadan. He meant throughout your life. So therefore, spend a time during the day where you could do your tasbih. Maybe after every prayer, on a consistent basis. Maybe while you are driving to work and back, rather than listening to music or the radio, you could probably do your tasbih. You could probably do your istighfar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a narration where he says, إِنِّي لَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ فِي الْيَوْمِ مِئَةَ مَرَّةِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, every single day, I ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100 times. A man who was sinless. And we commit sins on a daily basis. Therefore, we need to ask forgiveness from Allah. We need to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as we can. So therefore, spend time during the day where you could do your adhkar, where you could do your istighfar. And don't do so much that you burn out after a couple of days. Do enough, inshallah. Start off with something small, and then maybe a few months or a few couple of years later, you can increase that, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in another hadith, that there are two phrases that are light on the tongue, but is heavy on the scale. What is that? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. Two phrases, so light, how long did it take me? Maybe 3 seconds. But it is so heavy on the scale. It is mentioned in one narration that a man will be brought on the day of judgment and his bad deeds will be the size of Mount Uhud. And he will be placed on one side of the scale. And then a little scroll, an angel will bring a little piece of paper that says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah on it. And that man will look at that paper and think to himself, what is that going to do with the mountain of sin that I have? As soon as that paper is placed on the scale, it will outweigh your bad deeds. Allahu Akbar. So light on the tongue, but so heavy on the scale. Each time you say Subhanallah, you have planted yourself a tree in paradise. How long does it take for us to plant a small fruit plant or a vegetable plant? For those of you who like to do some planting in the backyard, how long does it take? You know, you plant the seed, you water it, you wait for the sunshine, you wait for the rain. It takes a few months for you to finally enjoy the fruit and the vegetables. But each time you say Subhanallah, which takes a second, you have planted yourself a tree in paradise. So build the acreage, build the huge land that you're going to have in paradise with the beautiful plantations of your trees, vegetables and your fruits that you're going to enjoy in paradise. What else did we do in the month of Ramadan? We did a lot of dua. We did a lot of dua. And that month is a month of dua. But it doesn't mean that dua ends. We did so much dua. Many of us, we cried in the month of Ramadan, begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins. Begging for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us Jannatul Firdaus. But as soon as Ramadan ended, the tears went away. As soon as Ramadan ended, no more raising of the hands to Allah. As soon as Ramadan ended, no more begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't only ask Allah in the month of Ramadan, we need to ask Allah on a daily basis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never gets tired of giving, yet we get tired of asking. But let us on a daily basis have a time where you can sit, raise your hands in front of Allah, beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anything you want. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, when you ask Allah, ask for the best. When you ask Allah for paradise, ask for Jannatul Firdaus. And subhanallah, after the ayat of Ramadan, after the ayat of fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a verse, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ دَاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when my servant asks about me, tell them, Ya Muhammad, tell them that I am me. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ دَاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ. I will answer the dua of that person when he asks from me. Allah is saying this to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept our dua when we beg Allah for it. So therefore, don't forget to ask Allah for whatever small or big you want. Remember, Allah is always giving. Be consistent in your dua. Always be consistent in your dua. Maybe after Adhan and Iqamah, before, in the middle of Adhan and Iqamah, during that time, ask dua. When you're driving to work or from work, make a small dua. After every salah or in salah, in your sujood, while you're performing your sunnah salah, lengthen your sujood and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As some of the scholars say, as many scholars say, that you need to recite or ask Allah in Arabic in your prayer. What you could do if you don't know Arabic, you could say in your sujood, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. You are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the goodness of this world and the goodness of the akhirah. And while you are doing that, think about what you want in your language. Allah hears your heart. Allah can read your heart. Allah can read your mind. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a consistent basis. Wallahi, this moment that we have, we don't know if we're going to get the next Ramadan. So make every day count. Every single day before the next Ramadan, make it count. And prepare yourself. Train yourself. And then increase yourself in ibadah before Ramadan begins, so that when Ramadan comes, the next Ramadan, that will be better than the one that passed. And as I said, we only retire when we pass away. That is the time that we retire. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless each and every one of us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to worship Allah, these small deeds that we just spoke about, that we did in the month of Ramadan, these small deeds, to do it on a daily basis, on a consistent basis, so that insha'Allah ta'ala, we will increase our deeds, and insha'Allah ta'ala, we will be ever ready for the next Ramadan, and we will insha'Allah do great in the next Ramadan, and be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our deeds, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you for coming. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inshallah hope that this benefits all of us, and to implement this inshallah, and to gather us all in Jannatul Firdaus. Wa jazakumullahu khair. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah al-azim li wa lakum. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.